So the title of this this session is security related issues, and we will have two parts in this current session. In the first part, Greg Rettery will brief us on the ICANN's strategic initiative for security, stability, and resiliency, and the presentation will take about 15 minutes, and we will have another 15-20 minutes to ask questions and comment this presentation. And afterwards, we will turn to Steve Crocker and ESSAC, and we will continue our dialogue with ESSAC on root scaling study and lessons learned from this study. Now I would like to invite Greg Rettery to walk us through the presentation.
Thank you, Yanis, and I thank the GAC for allowing me to make this presentation. This is part of what I think is a very important interaction between the ICANN staff and its security team and the GAC, given the broad range of concerns related to internet security, stability, and resiliency. I'll focus this morning on two initiatives that we've posted for public comment in the past month. The public comment period runs through the 29th of March, as listed on the slide. And again, my name is Greg Rattray. I'm the Chief Internet Security Advisor and head ICANN's security team. So with that, I'll press right into it. I will mention, I'll also have a final slide that just gives you an update on some related activities that I think are of interest to the GAC. So background related to the two initiatives. You know, the last year, but probably the last few years, have seen growing risks in cybersecurity generally, but also specifically to the domain name system security and resiliency. I would hope that most of the GAC members are aware of, you know, the growing emergence or depth and numbers of botnets out there, the size of those botnets. Probably the highest profile of those was one that has formed around something called Conficker and a set of malicious code that has disseminated itself through the internet through a number of variants. That code, specifically in some of its variants, used a domain name system as its potential command and control mechanisms, and therefore very much involved the DNS operators as well as the ICANN staff and the broader cybersecurity research community and vendors in a collaborative effort to try to, you know, stop the spread of Conficker. That effort is ongoing, but that effort certainly highlighted the need for collaborative response by the domain names system operators, with ICANN playing hopefully an effective information sharing role in responding to this sort of threat. Additionally, we've seen growing instances of domain hijacking through both technical and social vulnerabilities in the provisioning of domain names, and therefore the ability of malicious actors to change domain names and have resolution go to the wrong type of sites. So, you know, we have growing practical security risks. We've seen as a result mainly of these risks, in particular the Conficker situation, community calls for systemic DNS security planning and response. We held a fairly large symposium last February in cooperation with Georgia Tech. One of the primary resultants of that symposium, which was composed of DNS operators, government officials, security people, members of large corporations, that as they looked at what is weak in the security in the domain name system and the key risks, the ability to respond effectively in a structured fashion was among the findings of that. And as we've done after action reports on Conficker and in dialogue, as I'll discuss, with the computer emergency response community, the notion of a hub for, you know, coordinating security activities related to the domain name system is a pretty constant theme that we've received. ICANN has also, as members of this committee should be well aware, recently signed its affirmation of commitments that among the principal portion, the principal commitments is security, stability, and resiliency. Those commitments specifically call for ICANN to coordinate contingency planning in the domain name system, and we do believe that having structured response in the event of contingencies is a logical portion of ICANN's obligation under the affirmation of commitments. And the two initiatives that we'll discuss today were identified in the recently concluded ICANN strategic planning process. They are listed, and again, one of four major areas in ICANN's strategic plan is security, stability, and resiliency, and both the notion of contingency planning and exercising and the establishment of a DNS cert are specifically identified in the strategic plan. As I brief these two initiatives, and if you read the paper associated with the initiatives and then the business case associated with the DNS cert, they specifically identify that, you know, at this point, ICANN hasn't proposed a specific organizational approach, nor are the resources identified to support the initiatives. It's important to note that as we look also at the operational plan and budget, because these initiatives are not currently budgeted in the ICANN FY11 operational plan, and I wanted to make that clear. So the first initiative. The title is System-Wide DNS Risk Analysis, Contingency Planning, and Exercises. In my mind, these things are a netted set of activities. If you do not know what the fundamental risks are to the DNS as a system, it's hard to both plan proactively and then react through a cert to different sorts of contingencies. So it starts with, you know, the ability to understand risks, plan for those risks, practice the responses, and having the capacity for a response. We certainly envision this not as an ICANN staff-driven analysis that's given to the community, but right from the inception that the risk analysis should be comprised of experts and appropriate stakeholders from the community. But to do a professional, thorough job of this, that it would have to be supported by a professional staff, and that the role envisioned for ICANN is staffing such an effort. The types of things that we would plan to do is establish a common risk framework. The initiative itself actually lays out some basic parameters around for one to think about domain name system risks. We would believe that the community needs to validate and have a common risk framework, as well as conduct regular risk assessments. It's suggested that an annual cycle would be very useful. It would certainly be useful in driving ICANN's activities related to DNS security and resiliency, but I imagine it could also feed governmental efforts and critical infrastructure protection efforts as well, to the extent to which those focus on DNS security and resiliency. One of the things that it specifically calls out as a need is to create a root server information sharing system. As I think the committee is well aware, we had the root scaling study last summer. While the SAC and the RSAC are still considering the study and their findings, it's pretty clear in all of the dialogue that, you know, increased information sharing, you know, among the elements of the root server operator system, and I should actually say the root operator information sharing system, is a very important element of better understanding, you know, the risks to that system and as part of the broader domain name system, as well as being able to plan responses. The paper outlines the need for contingency planning based on key scenarios. I think it's very important for the community to understand what are the threatening sorts of situations that need to be planned for, and go that step of trying to do some community-based planning on what at an operational level would be an adequate, so do the right thing, response to, you know, different sorts of scenarios. And then as a person with a wide range of operational experiences, plans are only as good as your ability to practice and execute those plans. So we suggest the initiation of a system-wide DNS exercise program. This should incorporate, as with contingency planning, a number of efforts to go on within the community at a number of levels, from organizational levels within registries and registrars to national levels where there are exercise programs that involve players in domain name system security. So build on existing efforts, but try to, with ICANN's role as the coordinator of DNS security and resiliency activities to meet its commitments, put those into a system-wide exercise program and try to collaborate and facilitate that sort of activity. The second initiative focuses on the creation of a domain name system computer emergency response team. We just had Rod Beckstrom, the CEO, strongly, you know, discuss with the ESSEC the utility of using the CERT label for this activity, in that it resonates very easily with people. If people understand CERTs and they understand the domain name system, the notion of a hub around which response activities to malicious activities and threats can be orchestrated, you know, coordinated, facilitated, it is, you know, hopefully a powerful notion. What ICANN is doing at this point is trying to outline, you know, the initial concept for what such a DNS cert, you know, would be responsible for, its basic operational, you know, focus areas. We understand that this is a community-based activity. It's trying to meet the need for a standing, i.e., you know, 24/7 full-time accountable set of actors that can respond to these situations. Having been part of the Conficker working group, still part of the Conficker working group, you know, the voluntary collaboration in those sorts of efforts is very useful. However, it is pretty ad hoc, and we believe the domain name system needs a higher level of standing accountable coordination in terms of situations that might confront its security and resiliency. Certainly, this should be done in the coordination with existing capabilities, and if you look at the DNS cert business case, we've mapped out a number of ongoing efforts that we believe will be part of the set of players that collaborate in with a DNS cert in trying to achieve what it can do to serve its objectives. And the other major point here is that while many of the, you know, some of the operators of the domain name system are highly attentive to security. They have well-resourced teams. They react quickly and effectively to a wide range of situations. However, the domain name system is made up of actors that do not have the same depth of resources and experience with security and resiliency activities, and that one of the primary purposes of such a cert, and we've heard much from certainly regions of the world where this is more prevalent, that they need assistance, and this would be a place where they could reach for help, see the situations as they emerge, and if they are affected by certain situations, seek assistance. The operational focus of such an organization, we believe, must be determined in collaboration with people who both operate the system as well as those who currently provide, you know, cybersecurity and domain name system security capabilities. We actually plan a workshop where we bring all these people together and define operational requirements and in the procedures for collaboration relatively quickly as part of working out our, you know, how this will work and being very specific about that. Again, as listed at the bottom of the slide, this is more fully developed, you know, in terms of an initiative in the DNS cert business case, which is posted for public comment at this time as well. The way forward, we are very much in that portion of the ICANN process where, you know, for the reasons explained, we've tabled these initiatives for the community to consider, and we are seeking actively public feedback. We've already done some consultation. We had a call with a number of GAC members. We've received the ESSAC's feedback on this. We had a consultation yesterday here at the Nairobi meeting. The public comment period is open to the 29th of March, and we are certainly willing to discuss with, you know, any individual stakeholder, you know, the intent of this, how we see this evolving, and get feedback about either of the initiatives and what is the proper approach to those. Again, I mentioned at the top that the organizational and funding models for these things are not determined, so we are taking feedback on that as well, and I certainly will have to propose, you know, different, you know, approaches to that. I believe, you know, that will be a major aspect of the next phase of working on these initiatives. Quickly, I just wanted to, you know, highlight a few things just for information. Independent of the DNS cert initiative specifically, ICANN has established a very close working relationship with FIRST, the Global Forum for Incident Response and Security Teams, as well as working with national CERT communities. We held a training session here in conjunction with FIRST. We had 35 students. Most of those students were engaged in different national or a regional effort to set up an East African CERT. We see increasing the capacity of the CERT community and their understanding of DNS security issues, which they very clearly identified as something they would like to have help with, enables CCTLDs and others at a national level to get better, you know, better service, better capability from CERTs. So we hope that CCTLDs and national CERTs build strong relationships. It's a much more scalable model for us to strengthen CERTs at the national level than to solve all problems at a centralized level. We also, in that regard, plan a survey on CCTLD national CERT collaboration in the near future. We continue the CCTLD training program that we have in association with regional training associations. We had a session here at Nairobi, involved 25 people and 8 CCTLDs. This is probably the 10th training session we've had in the past year and a half, and we've had, I think, over 75 CCTLDs with both managerial level contingency planning training and increasingly in conjunction with ISOC technical training for DNS operators. To include security issues. And we're still engaged, as I mentioned, in this containing the spread of the conficker worm. Important for the committee, as with last year when we initiated the ICAM plan for enhancing internet security and stability and resiliency, we're going to do an annual update to that plan. I would hope, Giannis, that we could again get the GACS input on that plan. That will occur between this meeting, and we'd hope to have the plan ready for review at the Brussels meeting, so relatively soon, we'd like to provide to the GAC a version of that plan for comment. I do note, importantly, that this plan is specifically identified in the affirmation of commitments as the baseline document for accountability. So the contents of that plan, in my mind anyways, as someone working with the ICANN CEO and board about how we approach the reviews, very focused on the contents of that plan as a kind of what ICANN has signed up to in terms of its activities and programs related to security activities. So with that, Giannis, I'll close and seek any sort of questions or feedback.
Thank you, Greg, for your presentation. I'm looking. There are three questions. I will start in that order. Sri Lanka, European Commission, Italy, and then Netherlands.
Thank you, Giannis. First and foremost, I'd like to thank the ICANN team for the excellent presentation. And from the Sri Lankan point of view, we warmly welcome this initiative towards that will perhaps lead to the establishment of a DNS cert. We hope that in the long term there will be closer collaboration between national certs in our countries. I know Sri Lanka has one, India has one, and some of the Sri Lankan regional countries in South Asia, they have got one. Some of our national certs have already been admitted into the FIRST as full members. In that context, we hope that there will be closer collaboration between national certs and the ongoing work that you are planning to have in place. And in this connection, I would welcome GAC feedback in putting some positive language in the communique supporting these endeavors in the long term. And my question would be whether you plan to have collaborative linkages with national certs and your plan DNS cert in the long term. Thank you.
So the answer is probably yes at two levels. As I mentioned, mostly through work with FIRST, but also working just as the ICANN staff, we want to both understand and then strengthen the linkages between national certs and CCTLD operators. To the extent to which we proceed with the formation of a DNS cert, certainly, we want to build on, the capabilities of national certs, that we need to understand how national certs could use such a DNS cert as a resource, the mechanisms for communication and collaboration, on specific sorts of contingencies. To the extent to national certs would become a key stakeholder of a domain name system cert, and we'd want to map that in a very practical, operational way.
Thank you, European Union, European Commission, sorry.
Thank you, Chairman. First of all, I want to say how much I welcome we welcome this initiative, because it's the first time that we have a global vision there. At the same time, it's highly, highly ambitious. And when you talk about business cases and you talk about funding, you are really a full plate with the program that you have. Because it's not a technical issue. It's very much an issue of trust and working together and working in an area where we have a number of countries and organizations and certs. I know how difficult it is to organize the cooperation. So I think that is something that I really appreciate, and I wonder how you are thinking in this system, because basically you are operating in a peer system, but you have a hierarchical route. How are you going to try to deal with that issue? The second issue that I wanted to point out, you mentioned, and here we're in the GAC, you mentioned some kind of coordination, collaboration, information exchange with countries that have their own CIIP protection programs, which of course are not only restricted to DNS, but where DNS is a vital part. So how do you see these relationships? Thanks.
So starting with the first issue about the relative ambitiousness of such an undertaking, you know, and how to proceed in a practical manner. I think I concur with the notion that this is ambitious. You know, I think an issue related to that is just the scale of what scale is necessary to initiate something of value at a global level. So we've put down, you know, a marker in terms of the size of the staff, which is 15, and the resources required, which is, you know, estimated at 4 million for a certain vision of how this thing would work. More importantly, you know, the next step, which we plan to take rapidly, is to understand who our partners and stakeholders would be, sit them together and work through. You know, I'm sympathetic to using, you know, kind of scenario-based analysis of, you know, three or four key scenarios and go, how would this cert service, you know, existing other certs, the DNS OARC, which is an operational research center that does analysis that, you know, currently does some of these things, the needs of existing registries, both well-resourced and less well-resourced, and try to define operational requirements as the basis for, you know, where we would initiate efforts. I think we'll have to do, if a DNS cert was created, it would also have to phase in what things it focused on first and try to work on the most practical, tractable problems initially. So we plan to post prior to Brussels, you know, the results of this analysis as a, you know, operational requirements and concept of operations document. Hopefully that will provide some more fidelity into how we're going to, you know, address this ambitious challenge in a phased fashion. On the second one, which is more specifically the information exchanges with existing critical infrastructure protection programs, I actually see this probably more as part of Initiative 1, the, you know, risk analysis and contingency planning exercising portion of this. You know, my notion would be that if we were to conduct some sort of community-based risk analysis, that, you know, nationally based and other critical infrastructure protection efforts that see the DNS as a major portion, you know, as a major aspect of a critical infrastructure, would be aware that we were conducting these analyses, you know, bring that in, you know, consult and collaborate with them as to the feeding this information into other sort of you know, critical infrastructure based analysis. I think this is probably a pretty doable proposition. You know, in terms of multinational exercise programs, you know, we would like to participate in, you know, as experts on the domain name system, so as these sorts of things move forward, that, you know, the results of the efforts that we're conducting here under Initiative 1 are rolled into, you know, other sorts of efforts related to securing the DNS.
Thank you. Italy?
Okay. Thank you for the presentation, and I want to note a few things. First of all, certainly the program that has been presented in the two reports that are on the comment period right now, it is very ambitious because it's not only dealing about the best effort in order to assure that also in the new GTLD's program the continuation is guaranteed with certain assurances, but here the intention is to make studies also looking forward, because the certainly the DNS is one of the very crucial structure of the of the internet, and also what is important to note is that in the two documents we see that there are certain sums, conspicuous sums, in order to start this this effort. The more visible and the one that is more elaborated up to now is the one concerning the DNS cert. And there have been already some confrontation with the public here yesterday, and so there is a curiosity from those present about how to integrate the effort with the present certs that are also managed by the registries, by centre, for example, in Europe. There is a coordination about this kind of problems, just to make only an example. So then the other point that is to be examined is how this will be the future funding model, how then this DNS cert will be able to be funded after ICANN provided the initial the startup phase. This is another point that was declared. So the two projects are involving 4.3 and the other 2.1 or something like that. And so this is quite relevant, and I think that the GAC should welcome this move and then continue participating into the debate. Then we discussed about the process. Now the consultation period will end by the end of March, 29th of March, and then there will be a new version of the two documents after further interaction with those that are involved. And of course, this will give the chance then to also further comments. This is only to signify that certainly the GAC should appreciate this move. Thank you.
Thank you. Since time is running, I have Netherlands, Canada, Sweden, and UK, and Kenya, and Norway, and then we're closing the US. In that order. But try to, if you have questions, please formulate it immediately, and if you have comment, please try to be brief.
I'll try to be brief. Echoing the other members in that this is really almost not needed, but almost inevitable to have such a DNS cert function, given the inherent vulnerability of the DNS system in the design. One question I have is more about the structuring of this two initiatives. I was wondering if, because we had a kind of pre-consultation on this with some stakeholders back home, we have a GovCert which is trying to modify into a NetCert. One question I think what is important is to look, I think Stefano mentioned this and Michael also, in how much effort you set into having a sort of expert institute and people just on one place versus the effort you put in, let's say, fostering a knowledge exchange in trusted networks between the already CERTs who are there and other institutes. Because I think the second point is one of the most important assets of the CERTs, the way they quickly exchange information, they have they can contact their colleagues and they have knowledge about threats and how to overcome them. So it's for me it's more the balance thing which should be kept in mind. Thank you.
In quick response, we definitely are inclined and believe it'll be more the second model where this is an information sharing. It doesn't, for example, a key component of what CERTs can do is malware analysis, right? They understand the technical characteristics of a bad piece of code. We would think that there's plenty of people out there that do that. The question is, how does this CERT leverage existing malware analysis in other national CERTs or in the research community and bring that information to bear and share it rapidly with the right set of people, not to create a technical staff that does all the things that are already ongoing. Again, we plan a session to bring all the people that are working these sorts of problems together to really define what the value added of this staff and this CERT would be and not to recreate, existing capabilities.
Canada?
Thank you. My comments are actually very much along the lines of some of the previous speakers, and I think that it's wise to really consider respective roles regarding what you're proposing to do apparently at a global level versus drawing upon regional or national competencies that you would want to ensure that you're not duplicating and that what you're doing really is a valuable contribution to what we all agree I think is important for DNS security. So I would urge you to think very carefully about the arrangements that are appropriate and in particular to receive feedback, inputs on what you're proposing to do from CERTs and from the organizations that some of my colleagues have listed that would have, I think, valuable comments to add.
Just quickly, we hear that voice. Yuri, if you'd stand up real quick. Yuri's the staff lead. Yuri was the technical director for the Japanese CERT before she joined the ICANN staff. So we're familiar both in our own staff and in our collaboration with FIRST, about the need to work closely with the CERT community, and we'll definitely plan to do so.
Thank you. Thank Sweden, you. Maria.
Thank you so much for the presentation, start with. I have also some comments that actually are very much in line with my other GAC colleagues from Netherlands and Canada and so on, which is actually about the added value of creating this ICANN Global CERT because of the activities and the contacts and the trust that actually are the special activities already in the existing CERTs on the national level. So I would like to ask you instead, why don't you focus more on capacity building or activities in parts of the world that actually might need more knowledge or contacts or whatever instead of doing things that apparently is already going on with the national CERTs. And I also want to know whether you had a discussion with the CCNSO and the CERTs on a national level, and in that case I want to know their comments, if you have had some kind of meeting or proposal.
So we've had discussions with a number of national CERTs through our engagement with the Forum on Incident Response and Security Teams. I briefed the annual meeting there, which is probably 200 attendees. The domain name system is a pretty complex entity. So even as well-staffed an organization as the U.S. CERT has said, their depth on the specifics of DNS security is not, what they'd like it to be, in the notion that they'd have a collaborative operational partner to deal with issues specifically related to the domain name system is, useful. In East Africa, there is no current national CERT that's validated, and the operators that we had in the room this week, you know, definitely saw the need for assistance on domain name system. Now, to the end of capacity building, we are out there at the CCTLD level trying to train on DNS security issues, and we are do plan to continue to train national certs on those issues as the first line of response, you know, for DNS operators in a given country, because it's much better if they can reach to their national level. But I think our, you know, our analysis to this point is that there's a gap of knowledge on DNS security issues, and that having some sort of collaborative hub of expertise would service both CERT operators and CCTLD operators or DNS operators in being able to respond effectively to situations.
Thank you. UK?
Thank you, and thank you, Greg, for coming to our meeting to provide a summary and update on the initiative. The UK regards this as a major step forward for ICANN. It's consistent with what we said in our Digital Britain report, where our ministers really look to ICANN to take a leadership role in improving standards of the security in the key protocols, processes and technology that underpins the DNS. So it's really appreciated to see that this is moving forward in such a determined and comprehensive manner. And I've consulted within my administration. There's a lot of interest in these two proposals. They're looking at the documents now and mindful of the deadline of 29 March that you pointed out. And we're also considering how we might engage with the expert group that you're setting up. So we'll give that some thought too. With regard to the DNS cert, I mean, that's obviously going to be, I suppose, at the sharp end of what of ICANN's security effort. So it's important that that's got right, and we look forward to more information about the scope and the scale of the DNS cert. And I think you mentioned there was a workshop, if I understood rightly, planned.
Yeah, we
for
planned
you to engage with people to feed into that. So, yeah, if you have more details about the date and planning for the workshop, that would be very helpful. Thanks.
Okay.
Kenya.
Thank you, Anis. Mine is just to say thank you very much to the ICANN team for having organized with us, both ICANN and FAST, the first capacity building workshop for national stats. As you all know, we are going to have increased access to the internet, so the new challenges. So we do really appreciate and welcome the various initiatives and do look forward to working towards a global initiative. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, United States.
Yes, thank you very much. And thank you, Greg, for the presentation and for elaborating a little bit more on the details of this. We're currently consulting all the various stakeholders in the U.S., which takes quite a long time sometimes on these kinds of issues in particular. So we'll be sort of formalizing our views in terms of the specifics of the issues, but definitely think it's interesting. But I think at this point we just want to flag that, similar to others that have raised concerns about how it would work with the national search, the potential duplicity for OWARC and others, we do sort of have those concerns that would really, I think, want to be informed, and the GAC should want to be informed by the views of the other stakeholders in ICANN, whether it's the registrars, the registries, the CCNSO, and we'd really hope that going forward the GAC discussion is informed by that view as well.
Thank you. And last is Norway.
Thank you, Chair. And thanks also to Greg for your presentation. We also would like to express the support that it's a really important initiative regarding sort of sharing information and dealing with the increasing risks of in the DNS space. One thing is that I just wanted to know if wanted to know if you're sort of considered the what the relationship will be with kind of this initiative and the current SSAC, because of course some of these activities kind of is already under the charter of the SSAC, but this is a sort of more operational kind of activity, and so that would be nice to sort of just hear your views on that. The other thing is also what United States said is that if you sort of contact our national search, it would be nice to sort of also get an information to the GAC rep for that country, because it's not everywhere that the sort of national GAC reps and the national search are under the same organization. So that's really nice to know if sort of ICANN is contacting the national entities dealing with this. So, yeah, thanks.
So on the second, we'll just take that as a point of order, that if we're in contact with a national cert, that, you know, we'll probably use MACS, you know, to provide that information to any GAC member where that occurs. To the first point, we have the chair of the SAC to my left. So my view is, as you put, that this is an operational-focused initiative. You know, SAC is the technical advisory committee, certainly provides essential input to the board and the community about emerging issues and challenges and advice on those challenges, but the formation of an operational entity, you know, is a staff matter, an implementation matter, and in, you know, now we're working on what the strategic plan calls for ICANN to do, so we see it in kind of that way. But I'd welcome Steve's views if he has any on the topic.
Thank you, Greg. I think the first and most straightforward thing to say is that we're talking about an operational capability here, and the first thing to say about ESSAC is that it is not an operational entity. It's comprised of volunteers who provide time, part-time, out of their own excess capacity, if you will. And so we're capable of providing a degree of advice, but definitely not operational standing up of a facility or control of it or so forth. Greg tries to consult with us. We try to provide some advice and so forth, and I think all of that is appropriate. So I appreciate the pointing to us and asking you know, what our role might be in it, but I can tell you absolutely that we're not going to stand up a cert. Among the many competitors, subtract us from that list.
So thank you, Greg. I think this was an interesting exchange, and I believe it was useful for both sides. What I noted that in general there is support to this initiative, but with a certain reservations. Certainly we need more information. The reservations were expressed about the coordination and cooperation with national certs. What I didn't hear really was the issues on funding. I understand that the initiative has a relatively big budget, and as you said yourself, this is not budgeted in ICANN. So where you will be looking for these resources, whether that will be in the next year's, in next budget cycle, or you'll be looking for funding outside. And in the first slide, you referred that there were number of surveys and among national CCTLDs and CERTs who said that this is very useful. And certainly it is if you ask a question whether activity related to security is useful. The natural answer is yes, of course it is. But if you ask question, do you think this initiative is useful, and are you ready to pay for it? So then immediately answer will be depending on service we will receive as a return. So, I think you have a general support. Devil is in the details. Looking forward to hear more details after the round of public comments, and looking forward to future engagement with you. Great.
Thank you, Yanis, and I thank the members of the committee. We will certainly stay in close contact and provide information as we've discussed here, and further information as this proceeds. So thanks again.
Thank you. And now, Steve, you had already a slight training answering one question. Now, Mike is all yours. You have a presentation. As I stated at the beginning, we had a very interesting conversation in the in Seoul. The feeling from there was that conclusions of ESSAC on the report were not say conclusive, and we decided to continue this engagement and this exchange of views. And this is the right moment. I'm turning mic to you, and after that we will engage in questions and answers.
Thank you very much, Yanis, and it's a pleasure and a privilege to be invited back. I want to demonstrate my growing skill in dealing with these complex questions by passing the buck here. Julie Hedlund is going to be running the slides, and Ram Mohan will actually be giving the briefing here, and I will sit back and arm myself to deal with some of the questions that I know are going to come from the presentation. So with that, let me turn things over to Ram.
Thank you, Steve, and thank you, GAC, for having us. We're here to speak a little bit about where ESSAC is on the root scaling study. Julie, if you could go to the next slide. So as a very quick background, last February, the ICANN board asked ESSAC and RSAC to coordinate a study with some general goals. The concern was that there were several things that were being that were planned to be introduced into the root at more or less the same time, DNSSEC, IPv6, IDN TLDs, as well as new TLDs. And the question was, will doing this set of changes, does it cause a security instability concern? So the ESSAC commissioner's study got a response back, and in September of last year, we began consideration of two reports. One is what we call the Root Scaling Study Teams report, the RSST report, and as well as the TNO report. And the TNO report was about the model, the technical model used, and ESSAC has already published its comments on the TNO report. And since that time, since September, ESSAC has been deeply engaged in reviewing the RSST report and attempting to come to a set of crisp recommendations for the community. So if you go to the next slide, and this is probably not big enough to be viewed, is it possible to blow it up a little bit on screen? Okay, thank you. So, in summary, this is kind of where we're at. We don't have a final set of recommendations yet. But on signing the root, DNSSEC, and that's a big change. And that's a game changer in terms of what goes into the root and how much care we should take for that. On new TLDs, where ESSAC is at right now is we're thinking, you know, issues may have to do with the rate of change of introduction of new TLDs into the root zone. On IDNs, in general, they're like new TLDs, except there are some special issues, and I'll get to it in the succeeding slides. And adding IPv6 addresses, we think, is a small impact. And there's a new issue that is a new consideration that has come up, which is Anycast server locations, the global nodes that are spread out for the root servers. The server locations is a new consideration that we're looking into. In the next slide, on signing the root, DNSSEC itself, that's underway. That's anticipated to be in full operation in July of this year. And there's a lot of testing that is in progress. Some of the root servers already have the sign zone. We're seeing that there are large responses being returned. So far, so good. Nothing bad has happened so far. And at this point, it seems like it's moving along in a smooth and safe way. And the informal conclusion is, you know, among the multiple factors that we're considering, DNSSEC was the biggest change. So far, it seems to be going fine. If it continues to go fine, then we might be in good shape. The next slide. which is new TLDs, the headliner there is really the security and stability concern tends to be, much of the discussion in SSAC tends to be about it's dependent on the rate of change. You know, the questions that have come up inside of SSAC are, when you add new TLDs into the root system, will it overwhelm any part of the root system? And if so, how many new TLDs? You know, is there a rate there? When, at what point will the, you know, will there be a trigger event? Will there be a threshold event that'll have the system go from good to bad? And how will we know that there is a problem? So these are the kind of questions that the SSAC is looking at. ICANN itself is preparing to ramp up the capacity to evaluate and approve new TLDs, and ICANN has indicated there's a report that is up in the public area. ICANN has reported that they have the capacity to evaluate up to 924 TLDs a year or more after the new gTLD program starts up. Now, inside of SSAC, one of the things that we've been looking at is, while that may be a capacity issue, in reality, it's not clear that ICANN's own legal department, the board, you know, there are multiple steps to having a TLD approved, delegated, and actually be in the root. We're not sure that those pieces have enough capacity to handle a large volume, right? And so, in conclusion, you know, and also, can the root server operators accommodate that many new TLDs? Don't know yet, and some communication has started with the root server ops. And the informal conclusion, or at least the direction that we're converging, is probably yes, they can handle that that many TLDs. But again, it depends on the rate of change, the rate of introduction of the TLDs. On the next slide. IDN TLDs, in general, you know, it's a non-issue. We already have IDN TLDs that have been introduced into the root zone from a couple of years ago. We know it works. So that process is not something that we're worried about, except there are requests for IDN TLD variants to be delegated to the root zone. And for those who are not technical, really the variant is considered to be a string that is considered to be identical to another string that is applied for. So you apply for a string, and you have another label that is considered to be equivalent and identical to the other. And there are requests for, you know, variants to be delegated and to be active and work in the root zone. And there we have quite a bit of study and work to be done, because the technical and operational issues related to delegation of variants into the root zone are not thoroughly worked out. And the desired behavior seems to be that we want to ensure that variants of a TLD point to the same locations as the primary TLD. But how to do it, how to ensure that this will actually work, what to do if it doesn't work, what happens if, you know, the convergence that we want starts to diverge, those things are not yet figured out. But this issue is separable from scaling the root itself, right? So from a pure scaling the root, adding IDN TLDs to the root in and of itself is a non-issue, but the specific issue of variance, a wrong approach there could cause stability issues for the root zone. Next, IPv6 records, they've been added at a slow, steady rate, and the conversation inside of SSAC is that the impact of adding more IPv6 records into the root zone is very small. It's just business as usual. There's no reason to really interrupt future requests for IPv6 records, even if you add DNSSEC and new TLDs and IDNs. And finally, on the next slide, a new consideration that we're looking at is the location of the Anycast servers. Now, there is a possibility that a remote location of an Anycast instance of the root might inhibit growth of the root zone itself. And the RSST study actually points to that, and SSAC is looking into what that impact might be. And root server operators have not spoken clearly about this. We inside of ESSAC, we have some dialogue with root server operators, and some of them say this may not be a problem at all. There are others who worry that this might become a real operational issue. So what's needed here is some direct and straightforward discussion with the root operators before ESSAC can actually come to a reasonable and logical conclusion that this is or is not a problem going forward. So in summary, the RSSC report and the TNO report, from the study that ESSAC and RSAC, along with the staff, commissioned, what is clear is that the two of these are not sufficient to conclude the root scaling study itself. There are still gaps that exist. There are still issues that may potentially impact the scaling of the root. As you saw, you know, a new one that came up was the placement of Anycast instances. But we worry that there may be other issues that are as yet not yet identified. And we're also looking at, you know, should communications between ICANN and the root server operators, should that or could that be improved from where it is right now? Some of the discussions inside of ESSAC lead to, and these are not yet final conclusions, just, you know, underline that, but our thinking is that it's possible that we don't need further work, further studies from ESSAC or RSAC to start new TLD delegations, but it could be required to continue new TLD delegations. So that's kind of where it seems to be converging to. This might change based on the discussions that are going on. There is very vigorous debate inside of ESSAC. And if you listened in to, as somebody who's been listening into these calls and to these debates, it's striking the amount of energy that the volunteer members of the ESSAC are actually putting into this. There's a lot of care and passion about it, but there is not yet complete convergence on coming to final recommendations. We're hoping that next quarter we'll be able to issue recommendations based on the RSSD report and the TNO report, you know, having those as input into our thinking. We also are targeting next quarter to initiate a second version, the next version, if you will, of the root scaling study to look at the pieces that have been left out or not completed in the first study. And one of the things that when we began the root scaling effort last year and the study effort last year, one of the things that ESSAC and RSAC, but ESSAC specifically in this presentation, what we looked at and we bookmarked was no one has really done a study as to what the scaling of the root, what the end user impact might be. And we had bookmarked that and we had said, you know, that's something that has to be studied. It's not immediately urgent for, you know, all these other issues for signing the root, et cetera, but it's still important to be done. So that important work, we hope to initiate that work in the third quarter. So that hopefully gives you a clear picture of what our thought processes and what we plan to do. I'll open up for questions and hand it back to you, Yanis.
Thank you, Ram, for this presentation. I have immediately three hands, Sweden, European Commission, and Italy. Maria, please.
Thank you so much for your presentation, start with. I would like to say, at the discussion yesterday at the plenary session about the new TLD DOI process, there were a question from the floor talking about how to handle if you see smoke on the edges on the DNS system. And I think there was someone in the panel talking about then you have to slow down the car. And to slowing down a car, you need a tool. So my question is actually, do you have the tool? And if it is the case, what kind of tool do you have to slow down, to use to slow down, actually? Because that is something that I think is very important. Because also in this presentation, you talked about three different issues. If so, how many and when? And how will we know? But I would like to add the fourth, actually, and it's actually how to be able to slow down the car. So my question is, do you have the tool, or do you have any clue of what that tool could be? It could be information. It could be technical or whatever. Thank you.
Let me field that question, if I might, and let me draw speak with two hats on at the same time, as both chair of ESSAC and also as a member of the ICANN board. First, with a purely technical hat on, the notion of an early warning system of detecting smoke at the edges of the car, if you will, is a very compelling and appealing idea. However, I have to say that as appealing as that notion is in the abstract, matching that up to the specifics of what we're talking about in the DNS remains an open question. One of the things that the RSST report did talk about was an early warning system. We know from the notion of an early warning system comes for many of us from the early missile warning systems, where we know two things. We know what the result is going to be, namely that a missile is going to arrive and it's going to cause some serious damage. And we also know what to look for that is going to tell us it's there, namely something that indicates a launch and that gives us some number of minutes of advance warning. We don't have the corresponding specifics of what it is that would be going wrong. We don't have the corresponding specifics of what you would look for. I would be, with my engineering and technical hat on, I would be absolutely interested in understanding what those things are. Second, and also I must say, we're talking about an extremely slow-moving system. It takes a very, very, very long time from the time that somebody requests some information to be put into the route to get it through the entire process and into the route. Never mind the application process for GTLDs, never mind the regular, all of this growth process. Today, it takes, from the perspective of a competent TLD operator who is making a planned change, if you go and ask, how long in advance do you plan to make this change because it takes so long to get information into the route? The answer is 6 weeks. Now, that's not the advertised amount of time. IANA says, well, it only takes us a couple of days, and it only takes 12 hours to propagate it out of the from VeriSign through the root server operators. But if you actually ask from the outside, what does the system look like to the users, it's an extraordinarily slow process, totally inconsistent with operating on internet time. Now let me go back with my board hat on and answer your question about, do we have the tools to slow things down? The answer is absolutely and trivially. Nothing goes into the route without getting through a multiple approval processes. Particularly, new applications have to be approved. There is an authorization process through Department of Commerce, which your colleague to your left is intimately familiar with. But even before it goes to the Department of Commerce, there is considerable processes within ICANN. And the board has a responsibility to make sure that there is stability and security in the process, and if appropriate alarms were raised, it would be the board's responsibility as the last resort, if not management's, to slow that process down and do whatever is necessary to protect the process. So I think that part is actually the easier part, and it's the lack of clarity about, well, what do we mean by smoke, that is actually creating, if you will, more smoke than real content here.
Thank you, European Commission.
Thank you, Ram, for this presentation. Now, I'm a little bit comforted in comparison with Seoul, because what was the situation in Seoul? We had some guys who had done something very quickly, 2 months or so, saying when we were questioning them, we didn't have enough data, and our model is not really perfect, and it's not even slightly imperfect. So, and this was kind of reiterated when I saw the comments coming from your corner saying, listen, this is not enough. Now, since then, there's a couple of months gone by, And I have the feeling, if you don't have more data, that you're comfortable even without additional data with what you presented, so that your comfort is not based on some further modeling or further data, but you have, my impression is you have said, the crucial issue is DNSSEC. That's the thing that really challenges the system. The rest is more marginal, and if we come through with DNSSEC, we are all right. The other conclusion that I sense is, okay, this will be maybe in July, but it will not really impact on the speed of the other things, because that's a real big thing, but we shouldn't say then we have to wait for 6 months more until we tackle more things like GTLDs or IDNs. But then in addition, and that's something new for me in this session, is that you say, well, there are some issues we haven't really looked at, is that's remote location of Anycast, and then IDN variants. It's not IDN as such, it's IDN variants. And I would like to, Elizabeth, to say something about this, because that's new and it's a process that runs in parallel. We would like to know what you exactly mean by that.
Thank you very much. If I may, actually, I'm sorry if I'm coming back on something that you probably mentioned, but I just wanted to make sure that I really properly understood it. When you say that a variant is something which is identical, you refer to the fact that the string is visually identical. So if we have, for example, AAA in Latin, the AAA in Cyrillic would be visually identical. But you did not refer to something which is kind of like confusingly similar, or?
Let me address that straight away. Variants themselves are not a, depending on who you ask, that you get a somewhat different definition of it. I think really what we're talking about here is when a GTLD or a CCTLD comes in and says, here are two or more strings, and we declare that these strings are the same thing or mean the same thing. Okay, and that's how they define it. And we want all of these strings, two or more of these strings, to actually work in the root and to resolve in the root. And they may make one or more representations. Some of them might say, we will take measures to ensure that if there each of the strings that goes into the root will somehow be tied together, so that if you get one, if you're a registrant and you get one, you get all the others somehow, even though in the root they are considered individual entries, right? Others might make a representation that says, even though they mean the same or they look the same, or we represent that they are the same, let's say, okay? But we may want them to work in somewhat slightly different ways in terms of where they point to on the DNS, right? And the question that SSAC is looking into is, A, what is the expected behavior? Should variants that come into the root, should they point to the same place? If they should point to the same place, then how do you make sure that they point to the same place? Is there an appropriate way, either technically or in other ways, to ensure that this happens? Keeping in mind that once you delegate a string to an operator, from that level further down below, ICANN directly does not have authority or control over how that string gets used, right? So if the goal is a DNS system that converges, and if you are allowing variants to be delegated into the root that might cause divergence, then you have potentially a stability issue. So that, we have not defined specifically what is a variant. Is it visually similar? Does it mean the same? Does it look the same? Because that, in many ways, is dependent upon the representations of the applicant for the TLD. ICANN's job, certainly SSAC, what it's looking at is, if such a representation is made, and if there's a request for these different strings to somehow be tied together and treated as the same, then is it feasible? If it's feasible, then what are the risks associated with it? I hope that clarifies it. And perhaps we can talk offline about that. To the earlier set of questions, I don't think there is yet a sense of the SAC as a whole that there is comfort with all of these different pieces. The difference from Seoul to here is that the DNSSEC, addition into the route and all of the exercises that are associated with the tests so far seem to be going well. So there is, I would characterize the mood as cautiously optimistic, but it come June, July, if there is a serious problem with, or if we find something that happens in the route as a result of the route being signed, then, you know, you could certainly anticipate SAC to step in and say, this is a problem, and we should slow things down until we figure out what to do about this problem. But I think in general, your sense is right. There is more optimism about, where things might go. But there is still not enough. There is really no new facts or no new data from other than the studies, but except for the fact that there's a DNSSEC addition to the route, those tests seem to be going well.
Thank you, Ram. Italy and then Egypt.
Okay, thank you. So, having participated to this working group in the SAC, I can testify that there is an enormous amount of competence and of skill, operational skill. But as the study goes on, as we understand from the conclusions here, more analysis and more data had to be acquired. And this is why the SAC study didn't give the numbers, especially concerning the new GTLDs. And this was something that connected to the new GTLDs, the community from one part, and maybe also the ICANN board is expecting. But it was very, very important, this confrontation about the elements that increase the size of the root zone. And one could conclude, say, then DNSSEC and new GTLDs are in competition, and one of the conclusions that Ram didn't show up is the time schedule. And then since DNS now is in an accelerating phase and has not to be stopped at all, has to go ahead, while the insertion of new GTLDs, there is a phased insertion connected to the time of implementation decided by ICANN. But in the end, we learned that the root server operators are, I would not say a problem, but in part are a problem, in the sense that they have to say how much new GTLDs per year they are confident to manage without operational problems. And we know that the root servers have no contract, specific contract for doing this job. So we are confronted with some weakness of the system, let's say. And this justifies even more the studies and the new initiative on security and stability that were announced before by the staff. So this is the my evaluation being insider, let's say, in the group. The only criticism that could be moved to the SAC, let's say, is why these studies were not done before the announcement in Paris of the unlimited addition of new GTLDs? Question mark.
Yeah, let me just sidestep the Paris question. But let me note that with respect to engaging directly with the root server operators, we have the benefit of actually having a real live root server operator in our midst here. I know Bill Manning, two? Who's the other one?
Curtis.
Where is Curtis? Ah, you're hiding back there. We have two. Well, this is, maybe we get three answers. Roots Server Operators, Giannis, with your permission, may I ask if either or both would like to speak?
My name is Bill Manning. I work for the University of Southern California, and we operate the B root name server. I was also a member of the study team that did the root scaling study. And the question about rate of change is somewhat similar to asking you the question, do you drink water? And the answer is yes. Well, how much water do you drink? A liter a day, 1,000 liters a day, 250,000 liters a day, how much water can you drink? We did not know. So we engaged with and continue to engage with ICANN to come to a realization of what the expected rate is. And within that construct, I think that we actually have this ongoing dialogue that says that we're able to handle the kinds of rates of change that are being suggested. And so the scalability is there. Now, as to future studies, certainly we need them. There are several of them that were pointed out in the RSST report, and there are others that have come forward. Greg talked about some of them. So there continues to be a dialogue. There also continues to be discussions about how to more regularize the communication between the root operators and ICANN. So thank you.
Curtis, do you want to jump in here?
Curtis, could you speak in the mic somewhere?
This is being recorded. We need.
Yeah, it's recorded, and then will be transcribed.
Yeah.
Is that better? I'm Curtis Lindquist from the iRoot server in Stockholm. I think I share what Bill said. I just wanted to say that we have also published the letter together with ICANN saying that we will take the root server from ICANN and we acknowledge, or from IANA, and we acknowledge this. There is a discussion between the root server operators and ICANN of what the expected change rate is and the expected size of the zone, and that will give us some idea of to tell you whether we can handle it or not. But we are in a dialogue with this, and I think as Bill said, we as well as B and other root server operators participate in the root scaling study, and I think we all support that study and the data that's in the study report.
Okay, thank you. Now Egypt.
Thank you. I think a good part of my question was asked by Elizabeth, and it's again related to the variants. And I just want to make sure I understand right. So currently you're not looking into what's the definition of variants. I mean, you're expecting that whenever there is a definition and we agree that this is should be pointing at the same place, then you're trying to find the mechanism, right? Because I think when we say variants, this is could be confusingly similar, could be identical. I'm not sure whether this extends to translations and transliteration of the same word. And if we leave it up to the applicant, might even extend to defensive registrations. I mean, and we have to be sure what are the... And again, same thing written in different scripts. I mean, it's a very wide range of... thank you.
Thank you, Manal. You're right. Our focus is not on defining the variants. We're simply saying we expect, as a matter of course, that applicants will come in to the process and will say, here are variants, and here is the string, and here are variants. Please delegate all of them, or some of them, and please make sure that they work, and have them point to the same place, right? And our focus is what happens from that point onwards, and are there stability type of issues? We're not nearly as focused on whether it is identical or translations, transliterations, similarity. That's not, at least that's not where we're thinking of going. We're much more concerned about expected behavior of the DNS post-delegation and ensuring that a predictable outcome will remain predictable once variants get, if variants get delegated. So that's really where our focus is.
Thank you. Egypt, do you want a follow-up question?
No, I was just going to a quick remark that I don't think it's, again, I know it's not the focus now of the group, but I don't think it's a good idea to leave it totally up to the applicant. I mean, there should be a criteria or a definition for what's a variant, and then the applicant should commit that those strings falls within the criteria. I mean, we cannot just leave it totally to the applicant.
I think you're raising some extremely valid points. But this is probably not, we're not the right people to be responding to that. There's a whole other set of people. So the relationship is that when the choices are made about variants, then there's a technical issue about how best to support that. And so that's the element that intersects with the work that we've been doing.
Thank you, Steve. United Kingdom.
Thanks very much, and thanks to everybody who's been contributing to this discussion here, which has been very informative. I hear there's a lot of dialogue going on, and that's very necessary. I just feel very uncomfortable going back to my minister and saying there's dialogue going on. We really need a clear sense of how these issues are going to be fully bottomed out and key decisions then made. If I could say to a minister, there's going to be convening of experts on a certain date and they will take a decision, or ICANN board will take a decision, that's going to please the minister. So I think my kind of message here is that if we could be, through the chair, if we could be informed as soon as the experts here and who they are engaging with within ICANN and externally do reach a point of firm understanding or whether it's a trigger point or a cut-off point between one GTLD application round, a cut-off point between that round and a decision needing to be made on whether a successive round should be undertaken, which, as I understood, was one of the points that was made earlier, that no further work needs to be done now, but with new TLD rounds, then maybe further studies would be required, if I understood that point earlier on that you made, or maybe I need correcting on that if I'm getting critical look on the side of the presenter. But likewise, on this fifth component in this whole debate, the remote Anycast locations, there's, as I understood it, there's no clear determination yet of whether this is a serious operational issue. If we in the GAC could be informed when that point of determination is made, I would request that through the chair that the experts come back to us, and then I can report back to ministers on whether to discount that or add it to the list. So I just wanted to sort of underline, you know, this is very informative, but we have to go back and advise ministers, you know, we just to say that there's a hell of a lot of discussions and exchanges and dialogue going on is a very weak thing when you go up to the minister's office and he wants to know what the risk is. So I guess that was my point. Thanks.
Let me try to respond to the. Appreciate very much the awkwardness of the position that you feel. There is a subtlety that I want to try to disentangle here, related to your question. When we started this study, we felt a great sense of urgency, and we set a very fixed timeline to get it done. The result of that work, which is embodied in the RSST report and the TNO report, did in fact meet the schedule but did not, in many of our opinions, cover the ground adequately and in a coherent and documented way. And as a result of the advice out of that, we felt unable to support fully and just forward it and say, there it is. With a certain amount of chagrin, we have seen the error of our ways, and we have changed the priority to trying to get it right rather than try to get it now. So that leaves us in the complementary awkward position of, well, we can't tell you when we're going to finish this exactly, but we do nonetheless continue to feel that urgency. And as Ram showed in the slides, we have a schedule for moving this along. In parallel, you have the GTLD introduction process plan that you hear about from other parts of ICANN that we're not responsible for, and that talks about setting up a round and then taking a breath between rounds and so forth. Irrespective of anything that we do or any of the issues that are raised, it'd be very natural, just as a normal business process, that when you start something, you would then make some adjustments as you learn through that. So I think what you're hearing are two learning processes that are proceeding in quasi-independently and somewhat in parallel. One is on the business side of, you know, we'll do a round and then we'll learn from that. And then on the security stability study side, that we are probing these issues as rapidly and as thoroughly as we can. And some of them are resolving just because the passage of time is providing some clarification. Then finally, with respect to your last point about the placement of these Anycast services, my guess is at the end of the day that will get taken off the table. And I'm just speaking personally. However, it was put on the table kind of in a implicit form by having it raised in the discussion with the root server operators, and it's and it'd be inappropriate to ignore that and say, well, as long as you've raised that, then let's go find out if that's actually a driving force or not. And I think that we'll have that discussion, and the root server operators will come to statement about that, and we'll prove forward. Many of the root server operators take the position, you tell us what to put in the root, and we'll make sure it gets served. And that's been a very positive posture on that. And I think, you know, again, I'll take the risk of just speaking personally and take off all my hats, that I think at the end of the day that's roughly where to go. And if there's some adjustment to that, then it'll be worth teasing that out and making sure that it gets full airing.
Thank you, Steve. I have two further requests for the floor, one from League of Arab States, our new observer here for the first time, and then France, League of Arab States.
Thank you, Hannes. No, I just want to point out that probably to some applicants, maybe variants, they need to point out variants not for to delegate all of them, but rather to protect other variants. They need to delegate one or two, but protect other variants from abuse from parties who are not represent that string or so. Thank you.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. I think our focus is less on the allocation. So, you know, in the ICANN process, an applicant may be allocated several strings. But where we feel or we worry about potential security stability issues is when more than one string is delegated, and they are somehow supposed to be tied to each other and go to the same place, but there's more work that needs to be done, and that's where we worry about the security stability issues. But we have we're not thinking about or have problems with allocation of multiple variants. That's in a separate process altogether.
So thank you, Ram. Franz, that's right.
Thank you very much. Just one element. Steve was describing the sort of parallel track between the study on the root scaling, which is basically, as Bill Manning was saying, a question of how quickly can you drink water. And the other element, which is basically the new GTLD introduction process, the EOI discussion, which is basically how much water is piling up in the dam before we open the gates. Okay? The problem I have at the moment is that because of the uncertainty of the potential of a second round,
the likelihood that people, whenever anything opens on the new GTLD, the likelihood that people will actually oversubscribe or over-apply in order to make sure that they are in this small window whenever it comes is growing. And so we are having a stupid catch-22 race whereby, on the one hand, it would be absolutely no problem to have successive rounds very near one to another, having a first round of 50 and then a round of 150 and another round of 200. But at this time, because we're trying to solve all the problems and before anything opens, we basically will end up having maybe 500 or 600 applications that will have to be processed. However, the staff is saying that they will have to do batches because the processing of the application is taking time. The time and the delays for introducing all of this is going to be extending progressively. So my question is, even if through an EOI, through an opening of the round, there were 500 or 600 applications, provided that they would be progressively introduced, certainly not in 1 year, do you think that this is a completely valid and non-threatening type of rate? Let's say that you have 500 or even, this is enormous, even 100 or 200 that gets into 3 years in the route. Is this something that is completely within the zone of comfort?
Steve, I will add a little bit to this question. When Maria was speaking about the car and smoke, as process is designed now, the evaluation will take place outside ICANN by these evaluation teams. And each evaluation team will see each application, but that team will not see everything, let's say the whole picture.
Right.
The whole picture will come only to IANA people and ICANN board. So assuming that all evaluators say yes, 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 everything is fine, we go ahead. And then suddenly the whole picture shows that we need to slow down. For technical reasons. But there has been already process engaged, money involved, which potentially would create a lot of legal difficulties to ICANN. So again, this is the question, whether we can allow the start of the round without being absolutely sure how much we can handle. Not putting ICANN in potentially say uncomfortable position, which may cost a lot of money, a lot of trouble, where the technical side and policy side come together.
Right. So it's the quality of this kind of discussion is different if there are numbers on the table versus there are not. We now have some numbers on the table in the form of a delegation rates paper that was recently released. There are two kinds of numbers associated there or presented there. One is the expectations, how many that are likely to come and so forth, and it's measured in the small numbers of hundreds for the first round. And I think that it would not be too risky to say that if those are the numbers that actually show up, there's no issue whatsoever. That get processed and they get put in the route and so forth, and the route server operators have no problem. The more interesting question for this kind of discussion is, well, what happens if there are truly large numbers? And the model that's presented there is that there would be a maximum capacity of the evaluation teams, and therefore a round would be divided up into batches, and each batch would move through. And if you take those numbers, it's 4 months to start a new batch. So you'd have a new batch every 4 months of about 400, I believe, and so that leads to 1,200 per year coming through at an estimated success rate of 77%. I won't challenge where that number comes from. And that leads to a maximum of 924 per year, but it takes a year and a half or something to ramp up to all of that. And so that's kind of the maximum size of the nozzle that is spewing the stuff out. And with a very, very long ramp, I mean, you get to see this well in advance. And so one of the questions which can now be asked in very crisp, sharp terms is, in a year and a half, can you handle, the address, say, to the Roots of our operatives, can you handle an increase of 924 per year, every year, and so forth? And we don't have a formal answer back, but you know, now that there's a number that narrows the conversation down, we're no longer talking about millions or hundreds of thousands and so forth. So I don't anticipate that some of the more extreme kinds of scenarios that it's easy to imagine without concrete information are quite as relevant, frankly. So I'm not losing any sleep over this, for what that's worth. Yeah.
Okay, Bertrand.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, thank you very much for the answer. There are two just quick follow-up. The first thing is, following those numbers and the idea of batches, I have trouble understanding, and this is not directed to your study, but it's a more general comment regarding the process we're in. I have trouble understanding why it is perfectly normal, transparent, and accountable to have the staff defining batches versus having the community defining a set number for a first round and then a set number for a second round. I mean, this is beyond my understanding. The thing is that in the current mechanism, there are many ways for the community as a whole, for the board, for all the different entities to come together and to say, we all have collectively an interest, not only to solve the legal problems regarding the process, but also to have, as quickly as possible, a small, well-designed round, and then as quickly as possible afterwards, another, a little bit larger round. Can we design rules for that? And for instance, something that has been floating during those first days is, if there were an objective to have a relatively limited first round, that would be fair, knowing that there's not an unlimited number of actors who are completely aware and so on, why not establish a limit for the first application, the number of applications that one single entity can apply for in the first round? Is that completely unrealistic? And I hope I'm clear.
I think that this is the question we could raise during the debate with the board today. But if you want to answer.
No, absolutely not. I think that's the right place for that question. The questions that we focus on are divorced from that question of how you manage that business process. That's really a business position. I was thinking, so if you limit it to 50 or 100, who's going to make that decision? And the answer is, oh, I know who I would get. Bertrand will volunteer for the selection process of who should be in the first 50. I like that idea.
I actually do.
So thank you. Bram?
I just wanted to respond to one of the clarifications that a colleague from the UK was asking about the first round versus second round. That was not the intent. What we were really trying to say was to open up the process of getting applications and processing the applications in this new TLD round. It seems, at least the feeling inside of ESSAC is we may not need more studies. However, once you begin the process and you start adding TLDs into the zone, it's possible that some of these other factors that are still yet to be studied may impinge upon the rate of introduction even from this first round. So we're not trying to say anything about future rounds. We're just focused on this current round.
Thank you. Ram? Steve?
Yeah. Let me also add that our colleague, Suzanne Wolf, has been very actively involved in this. She regrets that she couldn't come physically to Nairobi, but she's been actively watching and listening and participating in this, and been very helpful in facilitating the interactions with the Root Server community.
So thank you. Do we have further questions? We have time maybe for one, but not more than that. So I don't see any requests for the floor. Steve, Ram, thank you very much for your presentation and for this useful exchange. Personally, I'm comforted much more than I was after several discussion. All questions are not answered, but there is the level of comfort has certainly increased. I will see whether GAC will feel, as a result of this discussion, that we need meet again in Brussels, or we will meet again next time in Latin America, wherever meeting will take place. That is a function of our debate tomorrow. And thank you very much.
Thank you. As I said at the opening, it's a pleasure and a privilege. I actually look forward to these. And so you may have understood now that we have a very specific strategy of providing just enough of an answer so that we get a positive response, but not so much that you don't invite us back for more the next time.
Thank you. The remaining thing in the GAC, we need to identify volunteers who would draft a proposal for the communique. I'm looking around for the hands. So I see that Italy and European Commission is volunteering. Thank you. Our next session starts at 2. It will be the joint session with CCNSO. I would encourage you to be on time, that we can cover all the questions we have put on the agenda in 1 hour and 30, what is allocated for that meeting. UK.
Thanks, Yanis. I just wanted to take the opportunity for Commonwealth members here of the GAC, and also maybe listening in behind us or around us, that we have a kind of updating session on the Commonwealth IGF, Internet Governance Forum, at 1 o'clock in this room. It's just a half-hour quick update, so it won't sort of prevent you from having a bit of a bite to eat for lunch. But I hope you'll find it useful to hear what the latest planning is for the Commonwealth IGF. We've got a forum planned for the Vilnius Global IGF for the Commonwealth, and we have a couple of other initiatives on the go as well. So there's that opportunity to hear what's happening at 1 o'clock in this room. Thanks.
And just one technical announcement for those who are connected on the chat. We will need to restart the chat for technical problems. So if anyone who's participating remotely to the chat gets disconnected, please reconnect via the ordinary link that you find on the schedule. Thanks.